You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM at KVON.com.
We call it Medical Mondays, and we got our first go-round of some information on the medical scene with Dr. Karen Maluccio, Napa County's public health officer, joining us now. And a good morning to you.
Good morning and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. I hope you got a little time off during the holidays, a little relaxation and enjoyment somewhere along the line.
Yeah, kind of.
So let's get into our current status. When we last talked, it's really been 2 weeks of the holidays that have disrupted our pattern of being able to look at the numbers each day. Where do we stand as we begin this first full week of the new year in terms of Napa County's coronavirus problem?
Yeah, I mean, we are still at widespread transmission. You know, I think that we'll definitely report cases into the 6,000s this week. We are still, you know, in the same kind of transmission situation where we have high case rates, high test positivity rates, and a lot of hospitalizations.
Mm-hmm. I believe at the end of last week, we might have had 27, 28, 29 people in the hospital. Do we know going into today how that worked out over the weekend?
Yes. You know, I as far as I know, there were more than 20 people in the intensive care unit. Mm-hmm. I don't think they were all from COVID-19, but a majority of them were. You know, I think that we don't have a full report of hospitalizations, mainly because it was a holiday weekend, and it depends on, you know, hospital staff being able to report hospitalizations to us. But all we know is that, you know, one of our hospitals had requested more staffing, so we had to make a request through the state. And then we also, there was a request for more ventilators because, you know, they're running low on ventilators and they wanted to get ahead of it.
The surge that many people predicted seems to have been kicked off maybe by Halloween and then maybe accelerated by Thanksgiving gatherings and so on, leads a lot of people to assume there's another surge that we're going to see now for the next couple of weeks coming off of Christmas and New Year's. Are you among those who think that's going to happen?
Absolutely. There's just no doubt. I think that, you know, I think the beginning of 2021 is going to start off with a bang in terms of, you know, the cases that we will see. Usually, we get a lag in, you know, like after, you know, Christmas or New Year's, then you start seeing high case rates following that, you know, approximately, you know, a week to 2 weeks after the holiday.
And to what degree is it still it's all the gathering issue? I mean, that's kind of obvious coming off the holidays that it's about gatherings, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, at this point, I would say gatherings is a big one. When we've looked at our data, the majority of our cases are from household spread and then the originating case is usually, you know, from community spread or gatherings. But, you know, transmission is so high right now that people are just getting it from, there's more workplace reports, you know, and then, you know, the community spread that we're seeing, it's hard to peg it in a particular area. You know, a person could have gone to different places and it's hard to tell where they picked it up. So that, you know, outside of the household spread, community spread is the next most common mode of transmission.
To what degree should we be concerned at this point about this new variant? We've heard the news out of the UK first that they had discovered this new variant of the coronavirus, and then we now know it's in California. What do we need to know about that?
Well, you know, at this point, I think it was just a matter of detecting it. I think, you know, in the UK, it was detected in the UK, but in the United States, you know, we had like over 17 million, you know, virus specimens, and only 51,000 were tested for this variant. So I'm not going to be very surprised if it's here. And, you know, I know that it increases the infectivity of the virus. It doesn't mean it makes it more virulent or it makes it a more strong virus. but it makes it more transmissible because people carry a lot more virus in their nose and their respiratory tract. The increased virus load can actually lead to more transmission.
Mm-hmm.
I would not be surprised if it's already here.
Yeah.
We just haven't, there hasn't been a systematic detection of it in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about vaccinations. We've seen some notable local movement on this. I believe Amy Harold posted on social media, the medical director at the Queen of the Valley, about her vaccination experience and so forth. So we know that it's being administered in the medical community. What's our status on getting people vaccinated?
Yeah, so right now there are, you know, we are in phase one, which is the very first phase. And then there are three different tiers. So we're in the midst of finishing tier one. So we've had a total of 6,300 doses of vaccinations allocated to Napa County, whether it is through our healthcare system, Napa State Hospital, or the health department. Basically, we have 6,300 doses, but we have 11,000 people in tier one. There are concurrent efforts to vaccinate the skilled nursing facilities through the CDC Pharmacy Partnership. So basically, they take doses off the state allocation to vaccinate skilled nursing facilities. The one thing we've noticed, however, is that there has been a delay in the implementation of the pharmacy partnership. So this has gotten us to try to vaccinate some of the skilled nursing facility staff because they are contributing to hospitalizations. And whenever you have an outbreak in a skilled nursing facility, it does lead to more hospitalizations and more deaths. So we're trying to get it, you know, we're trying to get to the point where we're reducing the transmission in these high risk facilities. And then we are, you know, getting ready to vaccinate tier two, which is the outpatient side, very soon.
We've heard some interesting pushback, and this is not a local story, but a state story and national story. Medical professionals who are refusing the vaccine, and some people have said the percentage that they're seeing that at right now is surprising to them. What do you know about that? Is that an issue locally? Are people choosing not to be vaccinated?
Yes. I heard this from our healthcare partners. I think that when they did a survey, there was one hospital that took a survey and they thought that it was approximately 30 to 40% of people who did not want to be vaccinated in the first round. But then when they went and did their vaccination efforts, they've also found out that some of these people changed their mind and showed up for vaccination. So that part has been, that has existed. You know, I think that one of our largest congregate facilities, which, you know, Napa State Hospital is tier one also, along with acute care hospital, because it's an acute psychiatric facility. They've also experienced, you know, I would say about a third of the workforce who are choosing not to be vaccinated at this point. Or I would say a quarter of the workforce. A quarter. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And do we have a sense of why people who are, I can understand in the general population, lack of understanding, not thinking scientifically and so on, can explain that. But what are people worried about? Do they feel like the vaccine was rushed too much?
I think that that could be part of it. I think the other part of it is that, you know, it's a new vaccine and they want to see, you know, what the effects are on their colleagues who are choosing to be vaccinated. But there's always been, you know, like even with flu shots, there's always a cadre of people that choose to decline vaccination against influenza, even if they're a healthcare worker.
Fair enough. And everybody has that choice, I suppose, and time will tell on that issue. In a broader thought about the vaccination process, approximately when would you expect that you'll move to other phases beyond the senior care facilities, beyond the medical community, and into a broader public availability?
Yeah, so phase 1B, which has been published by the Fed, by, you know, the CDC's Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, has determined what these ascent phases are. And basically, they're looking at frontline essential workers, such as first responders. These are non-medical first responders, you know, such as fire or police, not EMT paramedics, because those were already in tier one. But they're also looking at, you know, other frontline workers such as food and agriculture, you know, transportation and logistics and construction. There's a bunch that are in this big list, along with anyone who is 75 years of age or older. So That's part one of phase B, and then there's phase 1C. So just to let you know, though, there's not enough vaccine to even get all of phase one. So until we have enough vaccine and enough staffing to administer the vaccines, it is going to be slow going. Unless we basically have an army of people that can vaccinate. So it's and the availability of vaccines. So, you know, we have 11,000 people in tier one. We only have 6,300 doses of vaccine. So it's not from not vaccinating, but it's just about availability as well.
We're talking with Dr. Karen Relluccio, Napa County's public health officer, and never imagined back, I don't know, March, April, when we started having you on once a week, I never dreamed we'd be continuing it into a new year at this point. And there's been a lot of, you know, light at the end of the tunnel kind of talk, but it really doesn't feel much that way right now with this surge that's going on. How much worse do you anticipate it will get in the next few weeks in terms of disease spread generally, hospitalizations, and so on?
You know, I think it's going to get, I think we're probably going to run into a worse situation in the middle of the month, just predicting, you know, post-holiday. We already have a lot of hospitalizations. So I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. I'm thinking that, you know, probably mid-January is going to be really rough. And it's not just because of cases and hospitalizations, but also, you know, ramping up vaccination efforts. Just having our test site switch vendors in the middle of a holiday. I mean, there's just a lot of workload that has been put on to staff. And I think it's probably going to get, the case rate is going to get worse in the middle of the month, I'm predicting.
Yeah. Let's talk about testing for a moment. Is testing still important at this point in time with so much widespread transmission of the disease?
Yeah, that's a good question because, you know, when, you know, just thinking about influenza, you know, when there is a lot of influenza activity, testing begins not to make as much sense because, but then again, we have an outpatient treatment for influenza. You know, you can use Tamiflu or, you know, another, you can use an antiviral to treat it. We don't have the same thing for COVID-19. So this is a good question because, you know, we're at this point where it's so widespread. And it's either you need enough tests that are rapid that can be, you know, can be done as a home test or else you just treat people that have, you know, the suggested symptoms like they have COVID-19. And that's a great question. And I think, you know, I think the other question that, you know, is out there is, does contact tracing make any sense anymore? You know, once it's widespread, the horse is out of the barn. So trying to do contact tracing when, first of all, people are not going to identify who their contacts are. Second of all, knowing that test results, it's taking longer to come back. So then the effectiveness of like trying to stop transmission is basically blunted by this delay. That part doesn't make sense to me anymore.
Ever shifting sort of goalposts, right? It's week to week, things that were important previously aren't as important all of a sudden.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, probably at this point, the more important thing is to vaccinate. And I mean, doing the contact tracing is just not making sense at this juncture. So, you know, where do you shift your limited resources to? And I think that's the question that a lot of us are raising, you know, to the state. As we see these cases soar, and as the workload become like beyond what we can handle. I mean, we have to figure out, well, what are we going to jettison and then switch to that's going to be more effective at stopping transmission of disease.
So there's another topic that's jumped back into the discussion here locally about coronavirus, and that is a restaurant that previously was very high profile with their continuing to do business or being defiant of the public health rules is doing the same thing again, and it's gotten a lot of attention on social media, apparently just operating as if we're still under the purple tier and not under the stay-at-home regional order. I'm sure you're aware of that, and I'm sure there's conversations around it. Many people ask, why is there no enforcement when so many restaurants are giving proper caution to the public health rules, and they feel like maybe they're being disadvantaged by others who are ignoring them. What's the situation around that? We're talking about Fumé Bistro, of course. What's the situation there, and is there intending to be any enforcement?
Yeah, at this point, there's ongoing activities going on that at this point I'm not at liberty to disclose. So it's I think that it's happening at the state level. So I think so there's more to come on that. But the important thing is we get the economic impact on jobs and people, but we are also in the midst of we're getting to the point where hospitals, we don't want to get to the point where hospitals have to ration medical care. We're not there yet, but there are steps where it's indicating that we could get there. And when we have hospitals requesting for more staff and more ventilators, we cannot guarantee in the middle of January that, if you're sick enough to need a ventilator, that you're going to get one. We just don't know at this point because we're predicting that the cases are going to get worse. So every action that is done, whether it's by a business or an individual, really determines the health of the community. And at this point, we are at a critical juncture.
Again, Dr. Karen Relucio, Napa County's public health officer, thanks for checking in with us and getting us up to date this morning. And I'm sure it's going to be a busy day and a busy week. And hopefully we'll be able to talk again next Monday.
Thank you, Barry. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And take care.
You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM at KVON.com.